Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. I am so firmly convinced that civility is running the risk of extinction. I might be overstating it, but I do feel that rudeness is on the rise and has been for a while. Do you know that there's even a civil society fellowship to combat this trend? Lots of us are noticing the decline in decorum. I notice more and more signs of disrespect for other people. I notice it so much that I want to applaud when I experience and witness politeness. I also want to ask, when did good manners go out of style for some people? Was it with the cell phone, with email, with a particular election? I have no idea. I just know that many of us need a reality check on how we're carrying ourselves and how we're interacting with other people. You know, these devices and technology, they were invented to enhance our lives. They weren't supposed to be barriers between people. I need to get off that soapbox. I know I do. I need to move forward. I know I do. I want you to think about the political tirades we're subjected to. Well, I don't watch the news, so I'm on a news fast, so I'm not really subjected to them, but many people are. Think about it. I don't remember a time in my life where personal attacks, cussing and swearing, and bad behavior were the norm for our country's leaders. I just don't remember that. And some people say that this bad behavior has come about because the general public craves conflict and drama. I do not believe that. I do know that I think we need to rein in the bad behavior by people who are supposed to be leading us. And we need to check ourselves and see if we're also exhibiting less politeness and less kindness than would be demonstrated in a truly civil, polite, kind world. I'm not sure if the lack of capacity for civil discourse is the result of our polarized society or if it's causing the polarization. We make it so easy to demonize people who are different from us, and then it becomes more easy to demonstrate disrespect. And that's a problem. What if we looked for the common ground, the shared values, or just the shared humanity? Wouldn't that make a difference in the quest to bring back higher levels of civility? Crazy thing is, civility costs us nothing, but it buys us everything. And that's what Mary Worthley Montague said. It costs us nothing and buys us everything. I miss decorum, dignity, and respect. I miss it on the day-to-day individual level. And I get so sad when I see people ignoring the person waiting on them by continuing with their silly phone conversations. Would it kill you to make eye contact and engage with the human being right in front of you? I was tickled when my local pharmacy put up a sign that says, "Please discontinue your cell phone conversation before approaching the window." I mean, really? You should at least be courteous to the people who are providing your pills. Okay, I'm not going to go on and on and on about the signs of decline in civility. Instead, I think I'm going to share a little bit of the content from a book that's been out of print for about 18 years. And I know that sounds like a long, long time ago, but the points are relevant right now. But before I get there, I got to spend a little time defining civility, and I probably should have started with that. So here it comes. Webster's defines it as a behavior that's courteous and polite. Vocabulary.com defines it as the act of showing regard for others. And Wikipedia calls civility orderly behavior. The Cambridge Dictionary describes it as the quality of being polite. Now, I want you to notice, not one of these definitions says being polite and courteous is only for the people that you like, the people who agree with you, your friends and family. Civility is a gift that is due to everyone, regardless of their station in society, their beliefs, their affiliations. Okay, so those are the definitions. That's me pontificating. I'm going to go on. I read somewhere that civil work environments enable people to thrive because the climate is more comfortable. People feel valued, they feel respected, and they feel like they're heard. I told you about that book, The Tiny Book of Electronic Etiquette by Jason Frederick. It was released in 2006. It's timeless. It's a timeless treasure. And the author, Jason Frederick, describes himself. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting tongue-tied. He describes himself as a keen observer of the decline in decorum. His intent is or was to provide a few guidelines for gracious behavior. In his preface, he says that his goal is to bring back beauty, dignity, and respectful conduct. Mr. Frederick gives some common sense advice for daily comportment. He says, or he makes it a point to address voice modulation. And this is funny to me because I have a loud voice. And my mother used to always say, tone it down, tone it down, tone it down. Ladies don't talk so loud. So what he says is, tone it down. No one wants to hear your conversation except the person that you're talking to. And that may not even be the case. In any case, tone it down, because while silence may not be golden, it certainly is sweet. I already talked about being courteous and showing respect for the person who's serving you. And he talks about that too, but he frames it in the context of multitasking. And I love it. He says, do one thing at a time and do it well. He says we need to give one another our undivided attention and give the tasks that we're trying to undertake undivided attention as well. The author brings up a point that I do find interesting. He talks about urgent and important and our lack of ability to discern. His basic premise is that people jump at every text, every email, and every call because they can't figure out what's urgent, requiring our immediate attention, what's important, that can be addressed later, and what's just noise that's controlling us and commanding our attention. His contention is that because we're confused about what should command our attention, everything commands our attention, and that makes it easier to be dismissive of other people. We jump, we scurry, we hurry, and we worry because we don't have clarity on the things that matter most. He spends a little time talking about email etiquette, and he talks about the importance of greetings and salutations when we're starting an email. And I am guilty of this. I will just start with the point and forget to say, hello, Dan. Hello, so-and-so. I just have a tendency to get to the point in emails and in text, and I have to be conscious of that. He says, what's wrong with saying hello? And I love it when he says that without a salutation, an email, especially one about a charged or sensitive subject, can feel like an assault. While the purpose of the communication is really important, so is acknowledging the person on the other end of the message. And that's something I work to remember. I think we all know about sending emails. Just because you vent doesn't mean it has to be sent. Write it, put it in draft, and come back to it. Be certain that you're remembering the politeness characteristic of civility, even when you're ticked off. Things like using full sentences instead of acronyms and abbreviations. He talks about the time of day or night we're sending emails to our staff. If you're up all night, that's fine, but you don't need to create a culture of urgency by emailing your team when you should be asleep. While you may not expect a response, many people feel pressure to share your poor sleep hygiene habits because you're the boss, and that's the example you're setting. There's another area in which we could use a bit of civility, and that's humor, particularly humor in the workplace. Here's a question for you leaders who are listening. What type of humor is tolerated and encouraged? Would you say that it's tasteful? Would you say that it maintains the type of climate and culture that attracts and retains? Jason Frederick, the author, spends a little time talking about sending what we think is humorous in email. In short, he says, do that only with your family and with your friends and very close colleagues that you know share your sense of humor. He also advises that to be on the safe side, use people's personal email addresses for humor. Because that stuff may not be welcomed in the workplace and their emails might be getting screened and monitored. If it's the wrong kind of humor, it may contribute to incivility. I want to move on. The next point I want to make is this: wait your turn. Wait your turn in line. It's rude to interrupt the attendant with your questions when they're assisting another patron. Cool your jets and wait. Wait your turn to speak. It's not okay to cut people off mid-sentence because you're hot to trot on whatever you want to say. It's not okay to cut them off mid-sentence because you think they're going on too long. It's not okay to cut them off because you have another question. It's not okay to cut them off because you think you're brilliant and you have the answer. Learn to listen. If you can't listen, just be quiet and demonstrate respect. And that's a key component of civility. There are a few things I glossed over, but I want to start emphasizing them. I want to emphasize them right now. Being more civil means being more respectful of all people, especially those who see the world through a different lens. This means honoring their humanity, something I did mention briefly earlier in the podcast. It also means challenging our assumptions. When we come into encounters or conversations with negative assumptions about the other person, their motives, their views, it is easy to be dismissive. Try to check your assumptions before the interaction. What are you thinking? What are you feeling for that person? How is it or could it lead you into the realm of disrespect or disregard? Confession. I have a confession. I have a friend that I've known for years, since we were kids growing up at church. We have diametrically opposed political views. And when I read his Facebook posts, which I try not to do very often, but when I read that stuff, I think he is an absolute idiot. When we have conversations, I have to remember that he isn't an idiot because of those beliefs. I have to remember that there's no need for heated debates and for me to jump all in his case. I have to remember that there's merit in his perspectives and they're just not my perspectives. I have to remember not to shut him down because all that does is build walls. In short, I have to remember to be civil. I'm not saying civil discourse is easy. I'm saying it's necessary. Through the years, I've learned to have those, let's not go there. Let's just not go there. Those kind of boundaries so that I can preserve some relationships. One of the other things I think can lead to incivility is the tendency to take things personally. Everything is not a personal affront. Opposing views are not always attacks on you. They are just opposing views. They aren't indictments on anyone's character. They're just opposing views. I've been all over the place in this podcast. I truly have been all over the place. Talked about politeness, manners, and just being respectful of everyone we encounter. I've talked about the need to create civil discourse. I've talked about email usage and cell phone usage. I've talked about tips from Jason Frederick's tiny book of electronic etiquette. As random and scattered as this may have seemed, there are three common themes. Three. Number one, we can be our best selves when we honor the humanity in everyone. I'm going to repeat that. We can be our best selves when we honor the humanity in everyone. Two, all of our futures are tied together, so we're well served to find common bounds. All of our futures are tied together, so we're well served to find common bounds, common bonds, and to create common bonds. It's not just finding them. And number three, we gain ground on the journey to civility when we seek to understand, to listen with open hearts, and to reflect on the good in each person. Yeah, we gain ground on the journey to civility when we seek to understand, to listen with an open heart, and reflect on the good in each and every person. Jeremy Irons said something that I think I'll wrap up with. He said, civility, politeness, they're like cement in a society. They bind us together. And when we lose them, I think we all feel lesser and slightly dirty because of that loss. I am on an alert for being my most civil. I invite you to join me in that awareness and focused action to reclaim the very best that's in us. Our respect for others, our good manners, our politeness, our decorum. I invite you to join me in the effort to create common bonds that protect us all and protect our society and our world. We can return to civility. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.